life presents us possibilities each and every day. I heard a calling that was right for me. I prayed for strength for what's ahead of me. Stood before me was my enemy.
Don't tread on me.
He's come to take away my liberties. I'd rather die than be a slave to thee.
Don't treat me this way.
They're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
Thursday Night Truth on the My View Matters Radio Network. And I am your host, Dale the Truth. And I'm getting some messages here as we go to the airwaves that there may be some problems listening to the show live. So we'll keep an eye on that. Hopefully, for the hundreds of people who listen in the archives, hopefully you won't have that problem. And we'll go back and we'll see if we can pick up with our good friend Paul. Stop it here in a little bit. See if he's able to hear us a little bit better. He was telling us about some problems. But we're glad to have you here nonetheless. Today's date is Thursday, February 14th, 2013. It is St. Valentine's Day, 2013. And we thought tonight that we would show a little bit of love to history, and we would do a little bit of a history lesson, and probably a little bit of a little-known history lesson about some issues that you don't get told about in the government schools. So we'll do that. We'll probably play a couple extra sound bites that we normally wouldn't be able to get to, just to kind of throw that in the mix. But as usual, if you want to call in, the call-in number is, as always, across the country, nationwide, 858-683-1326, or in the Louisville, Kentucky area, 502-805-0334. So, we start out the show, since it is the week of February. We're going to go back to a story that maybe you haven't even heard about before. But we're going to go back to a story from 30 years ago on this date. And this is a story from 30 years ago on this date, the story of Gordon Call. And maybe you all think, who the hell is Gordon Call? We don't know who Gordon Call is. Well, Gordon Call, we'll do the backstory here. Gordon Call, unfortunately, was viciously murdered on his date 30 years ago today. So who was Gordon Call? At the time of his death, he was 63 years old, and he was beaten to death with the butt of a rifle, breaking multiple bones and teeth and mutilating him through dismemberment. But if we go back in history, he had been a highly decorated World War II veteran. He had been a highly decorated World War II veteran. A farmer, a father of six, and here's the big kicker, a tax patriot. You see, Gordon Call refused to pay taxes to the federal government after he discovered, in his words here, folks, that the government was operating under the Communist Manifesto rather than the United States Constitution. And guess what? The people who carried out the atrocity of killing Gordon Call on this date, 30 years ago today, were U.S. government agents. You see, this event took place in Arkansas 30 years ago today, where Gordon Call had fled following an earlier ambush by, you guessed it, unidentified government agents. An ambush had culminated in a shootout between Call and the agents. He had first opted out of Social Security payments in 1968, after he had studied communism and read the Communist Manifesto. He thought the fifth plank of the Communist Manifesto had already been set into motion by 1913, which we talked about last week, 100 years ago now, the establishment of the Federal Reserve, a privately owned central bank monopoly. So follow along here, because Gordon Call thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was being a good patriot. And communism was against his moral principles and his religious beliefs as well. Gordon had notified the government in a letter that he was removing his family and himself from the Social Security program. He wrote he was not going to pay into the socialist program, and he did not ever want to receive services from it. And indeed, Gordon and everyone else had an option of opting out because the Social Security program was established as a voluntary redistribution of wealth. But see, the socialism of it was only a short step away from full-blown communism. The involuntary redistribution of wealth and property. So again, Gordon Call just moving along, minding his own business. He honestly did not even make enough money to even owe taxes. But lo and behold, after he quit paying the taxes and notified the government by letter that he wasn't going to pay them, he was placed on trial. He was charged with willful failure to file. And he was sentenced for income tax evasion. The judge refused to hear any of his arguments based on the Constitution or on his personal convictions. They sentenced him to a year in prison, which he served in Leavenworth, followed by 5 years of probation. You see, after he served his sentence in Leavenworth, he did his hard time, and he got out, and he still did not file voluntary income taxes. The government then placed a lien on approximately 40 acres that belonged to the Calls. The government placed a lien on his 40-acre farm, and they would fill the lashes of the first, third, fourth, and ninth planks of the Communist Manifesto. So we move fast forward to 1980, and we had warrants for his arrest, and he continued setting up town meetings, telling people how they didn't have to pay taxes. We fast forward again, February 1983. A number of law enforcement personnel elected to pursue Gordon Call with violent direct orders. The Call family had left a township meeting and they noticed someone watching them with binoculars down the street in an unmarked pickup truck. Sure enough, government officials. And then finally, on the date of 30 years ago today, the government finally caught up with Mr. Gordon Call for his tax evasion, quote-unquote. He was met with a rifle. He was met with a gun battle between who is still unidentified assailants and Mr. Gordon Call. You see, his wife was gunned down. He was shot in the abdomen with a shotgun, and then shot in the arm and the right hand. And this is just an example of what went on 30 years ago today when U.S. Marshals, those were the assailants here, U.S. Marshals decided to take it upon themselves to beat down and take down the life of Mr. Gordon Call. So, thought I'd start out with a good feel-good story there. I know we got a couple guys lined up on the line. I see our good friend Frank is in the queue, and we'll get to Frank in a second, because I'm glad Frank's calling in, because we're going to talk about something a little bit off the topic now that I got the history lesson out of the way and showed you what your government's capable of doing. We're going to jump and shift gears here and go into what happens with your state governments. And state government has been pretty wild lately. We've had a hemp bill, we've had some DNA bills, and we've had a number of abnormal bills, if you will. So I apologize for jumping from a historical national lesson against the federal Gestapo back into state government, but that's what we're going to do at this point. And I believe we have Frank from the People's Republic of Vietnam on the air. Frank, are you there?
Hey, Dale. How are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing okay, Frank. I was just telling the story of Gordon Call and the U.S. Marshals gunning him down 30 years ago. Had you heard that story before?
I had not.
Yeah, because he wouldn't pay the voluntary income tax. I would think if something was voluntary, Frank, they wouldn't, you know, gun you down for not paying it.
Well, you know, there's been so many abuses by the IRS. The most famous one I can think of is the fighter, you know, was it Joe Lewis? That they hounded until his death.
Mm-hmm.
The man won, you know, a big prize fight. This is back during World War II.
Yep.
Donated a big chunk of his prize fight winnings to the service effort. And then the IRS came and had him arrested for tax evasion, even though he had given a, you know, a bigger sum of money to the military effort than he ever would have had to have paid in taxes, and they forced him to work for the rest of his life just to pay off his income tax debt.
Well, that's one of the reasons I want to bring you on here, Frank, because that story leads into another more recent story, and frankly, I don't like just hearing my own voice. I want to get you on here and get your perspective from over there in Vietnam, but this leads up to a story from 12 years ago this week, and I bet you know this story a little bit better, and it was a story, another seizure by the IRS, this one a little bit more famous, unless you're listening to mainstream media out there. And that was the story of the Indianapolis Baptist Temple. You remember that one?
I don't. I really don't. But, you know, I only became politically aware about 5 years ago.
Oh, that's fair. You know, that's fair, Frank.
Before,
well,
I know about Waco. I know about Ruby Ridge. But there's a whole bunch of other stories I probably don't have any idea about.
Well, I know you and I talked off air recently about Waco. That's coming up on 20-year anniversary. So I thought I'd bring up Gordon Call because that happened 30 years ago today. But 12 years ago this week was the siege and raid of the Indianapolis Baptist Temple. And it's hard to believe that 12 years have gone by, but February 13, 2001, was when federal marshals crashed into the sanctuary of the Indianapolis Baptist Temple, and they carried out Baptist worshipers who were praying at the altar, and they padlocked the doors of the church and turned the property over to another buyer. And why did they do all this? Only because, the backstory here, Indianapolis Baptist Temple refused to collect federal income tax from their employees. They basically said they were working as free agents and basically contractors, and that it was up to their employees. So, you know, if you don't want to withdraw taxes from someone's paycheck and you tell them they're an independent contractor, that makes perfect sense. But this is a story I remember following as well, because this happened right after, believe it or not, the neocons won't like this. They'll be pissing their depends out there. But this happened right after George W. Bush got elected. And we remember, we being the vernacular of those in the Liberty Movement, we thought for sure that Bill Clinton's folks were going to go running in there and take out the Indianapolis Baptist Temple. And sure enough, Clinton's term came to an end, and he didn't do it. So many people thought, oh, well, it'll be safe now, because now you'll have George W. Bush coming in, and he would never allow that. Right, Frank?
Well, you know, if you defy the IRS, you're in for all kinds of fun. Mm-hmm. They, if you don't believe that the government is the mafia, look at some of the things that the IRS has done, the way they have gone after people, the way they have very vindictively pursued people.
It's very personal with them. Yeah, they're the biggest gang out there, and that's why I want to go from the Gordon Call story into this one, because this one's a little bit more recent. Not too many people even know about the Gordon Call story in the Liberty Movement, but Indianapolis Baptist Temple happened 12 years ago this week, and basically, like I said, they did not want to withhold income tax from their employees, and people were very paranoid, if you want to use that term, on edge, because they remember what happened in places like Ruby Ridge and Waco and Oklahoma City, and they did not want to withdraw income taxes from their employees' paychecks. So it's kind of ominous sight to see the ATF flag raised in triumph, and basically what happened at this church, you had some people gathered for a worship service, and it was raided. And like I said, it's never made mainstream media. I'm pretty sure Fox News was already around in 2001. It never made Fox News. But it happened, Frank.
Well, look at that guy in Indiana that printed up the silver coins with Ron Paul's image on them.
Yep.
And what they did to him. There's another fellow, Franklin Sanders, who endured, I think it was the second longest trial in U.S. history, because he had a service where he provided a safe place to store your gold and silver. He is, you know, and they came after him and said he was operating a bank. He did not operate a bank.
Nope.
He operated, you know, basically a lockbox for people, and you know, just a security system for them to store their gold. He wasn't giving interest out. He didn't operate like a bank. He didn't make loans with anything. All he provided was storage, and so they took him to court, drug him through the mill for several years before he was finally cleared. The court, thankfully, wasn't as corrupt as the IRS. The court found him innocent. But, you know, just going through the system, just having to defend yourself, having to hire a lawyer, you can be ruined in a matter of weeks
Well, like you just said, Frank. Like you just said, Frank. If you cross the IRS, you're gonna have it coming at you. And this just proves that the Bush Ashcroft Justice Department was no better in analysis than the Clinton Reno crowd. And to make case worse, after they seized this church and wanted to extract $6 million from the members in taxes, proving they were just wolves in sheep's clothing, to add insult to injury, Attorney General John Ashcroft at the time called the guy who was in charge of the raid and congratulated him on the successful raid of the church.
Well, you know, I thought when you were the direction you were going to be going was the story this week of the manhunt for the ex-policeman out in California.
Yeah, I was going to tie it in, and I just thought that was ironic that
you were.
you were on the right track there. I was going to tie it in because the thing about it is, I mean, people know that story because it was all over the news until they conveniently ended it just in time for the State of the Union speech. It's kind of funny how their programming note worked out like that. But just look at the fact that this happened under the Republican administration of George W. Bush. And like I said, I was politically active, and I remember this thing going down. It was an Indianapolis Baptist church, and nobody talked about it, except if you were in the area. If people lived in Indianapolis, the next day, the Indianapolis Star headline said, "Feds seize Baptist temple." But again, they were seen, you know, they didn't let it hinder them. They were seen worshiping later on at another location. But these tax judgments that they claimed that were owed stretched back over 11 years, Frank. And they stemmed from the refusal of the Baptist temple to withhold employee taxes. And they basically said that their employees are independent contractors. I don't see a problem with that, do you?
Well, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I used to think we lived in a free country. I don't
think
that anymore.
Right, that's the first mistake, yeah.
When you look at the things that, you know, the myths that we're told growing up and the reality are so far removed. Somebody was telling me that, you know, our friend Craig Lee, he actually witnessed the Federales, and that's my new name for the, you know, any federal agency, any federal troops, and, you know, any federal forces that are used against the populace. The Federales came in by helicopter to burn or destroy a hemp crop on Native American territory on the reservations.
Yep.
Those territories are supposed to be sovereign. And the federal government is supposed to allow those people to resolve their own problems, to live life as they see fit. It's supposed to be sovereign territory, but there was some group of Indians that grew a hemp crop. How dare they? They were raided by the Federales. So there's always cases where the Federales get offended because the Indians are actually practicing some freedom. Somebody told me that there's a some sort of a ceremonial dance. I think it's sort of like a tribal war thing where they go into one of their sweat lodges and then they stay in there for several days and maybe they do some peyote or something.
Yep.
And then they start to chant. And I think what they're looking for is for their spirit to tell them whether or not to go to war. Well, this is illegal by, you know, federal dictate. They're not allowed to perform. People were performing this ritual and were raided by the feds for doing a chant, for God's sake.
Well, like you said, Frank, this now leads us up to this week where we had a former Navy man, former LAPD official, who went on his own little shooting rampage. And I lost count in the middle of all the collateral damage if it ended up with him. Did he have 5 points for kills and the U.S. government had six shots for kill? I got the scoreboard.
I thought he had four, but I really don't know. I don't know
he had
how many
four or
he
five,
had.
And then the innocent bystanders that got killed in the way because, you know, they found like some small Asian women that confused them with this big black guy. And so the government ended up having like five or six kills. I guess it depends on if you think they killed him or not, which I don't think they did.
Well, you know, the first I heard of it was when they shot up the truck or the van. There was a van that had two, you know, ladies in it. I think they were white. I thought they were
white. Yeah, very small ladies. Yep.
The police just stopped there. You know, saw the car, spotted the car on the road, stopped their vehicles, got out, and apparently just started shooting. When you see the photos of this vehicle, it's just riddled with bullet holes.
Yep.
Now, you would think that they were going after gangsters or something, but you know, the women, I think, survived. You know, it was a miracle.
Okay, that's good.
I don't know if anybody
survived
that. But that was just the first car that was shot up. And then
you
had the pickup truck that was rammed by the police car. I don't know if bullets were exchanged or not, It was a one-sided deal.
Oh, yeah, it was all one way.
Yeah, but, you know, the police apparently didn't provide any warning. But what gets me is the way the media is covering this. You know, those of us that believe in the rule of law and due process and constitutionality, you know, a lot of us are sort of, you know, maybe we're a little idealistic, I don't know, but we think that everybody deserves their day in court.
Well, that's a good point. You and I have talked about that off air, and the thing about it is so many people don't think, you know, you'll hear all these people with their vengeance about, an eye for an eye, and they want to go back to, you know, Hammurabi Code or something here, and they don't want to see him get a day in court. You know, they don't want to see people like the Indianapolis Baptist Temple get a day in court, much less this guy. They figure this guy got what he had coming, so they don't believe in due process for this guy. And what's really interesting, I know some people don't like when we get into the quote-unquote conspiracy realm, but what I mentioned at the end of the Ed Springsteen show last night on this network, for those just joining in, you are listening to the Thursday Night Truth Show, one of My View Matters Radio Network, and last night I was teasing at the end of the show one thing I want to bring up, and I don't know if you read this, Frank, but there have been three different sources saying that they found this guy, Christopher Dorner's wallet, in three different cities. Have you heard this story?
Yeah. I saw where there was two different cases of that.
Oh, there's three now. There's three now. USA Today reported that a wallet with his license. I'm just wondering how many wallets with ID cards does this guy have? USA Today said that a wallet with his driver's license was found in the burned-down cabin. Forget about the fact that everything was to a charred, crispy Burger King, you know, halt there. Everything was burned down. But so USA Today claimed that the wallet was intact, some kind of flame retardant wallet store out there, I guess. And then the Guardian said that his wallet was found down the road, a trail before you got to Big Bear Lake. The LA Times said they found his wallet and ID cards near the U.S.-Mexico border.
Well, the thing is, you know, you can say what you want about, well, he was opening fire against the police, and he had it coming, whatever. But the thing is they're ignoring all the things that led up to that event.
Yep.
You know, you can look at that one event and say, well, he was shooting back against the police. But, you know, he was probably in fear for his life. He probably felt like they were going to come in and kill him if he didn't defend himself. And so, you know.
Well, in his little manifesto he wrote, in the little manifesto that this guy wrote, he vowed that he would use all of his police and military training to, quote, bring unconventional and asymmetrical warfare to the LAPD. And he is a former LAPD cop, and he was reportedly able to kill three people, including a police officer, and he evaded a wide-scale manhunt for days. So you got to wonder, how was it he was just hiding out there in the wide open and nobody got him?
Well, there's a lot of things I wonder about.
Yep.
But, you know, what I'm trying to just point out is the fact that the police had already established a pattern of lawlessness in their pursuit of him.
Right.
They had already established that they didn't care about civilian casualties. They had already established that they were going to open fire on the guy inside a, you know, on site. So why in the world do you think he wouldn't defend himself? He would be a sitting duck if he didn't.
I agree, and we've seen this happen in many cities. Well, even when the military is not involved, with a police department, because they're in a hurry to get somebody who's speeding or might have a drug charge or might have some weapons hidden, because they're in a hurry to do all those things, they're willing to take all prisoners or take all innocent bystanders. That's collateral damage. It doesn't matter to them. And Frank, I'm just going to put you in the queue for just a second. If you can, we're going to talk about what's going on in Frankfurt in a minute, Frank, if you can hang on for that.
All right.
Okay, we'll put you in the queue here. But I believe we might have our friend Andy on the line, too. Andy, are you with us?
How you doing?
There he is. How you doing, brother?
Like I said, I've been listening to you guys, but I was at work, and I didn't want to disrespect you with the noise, but you just said something.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about that Dahmer getting his day in court.
Yep.
Man, let me tell you something. When you belong to a cult, you answer to the rules of the cult.
Yep.
And that's all that we witnessed. I mean, when those cops, and you're going to tell me trained paramilitary people
right.
could not recognize
right, Andy.
these two Asian people.
Uh-huh.
This is a 6'2", 300-pound, bald, black guy.
Or, Frank said it might have been white women, but yeah, how would you get, let's say it was, I think that might have been the case where they weren't killed, thankfully. But yeah, they shot up a truck with two small white women. They somehow confused them, you know, because according to LAPD, all of us civilians look alike, I guess, Andy.
and all that message was, that was a clear message saying, you cross us, you get dealt with wherever we find you,
oh,
and
yeah.
you deal with you the way we want.
And they trained him, Andy. I mean, that's why I said you got to remember this guy was trained by our military with all our tax dollars. He was trained by LAPD. And again, it's, you know, we know the LAPD's had a black eye for a long time, but you got to wonder, I mean, no one's attempting to condone his actions, but did the police order a media blackout to cover up a plan? Did they want to kill him all along?
All I'm telling you, the LAPD was the first paramilitary
Yep.
Police department in America.
Period. Right. Yep.
Right after
back,
the
back
Watts
in days
riot,
with Daryl Gates and all that. Yep.
Right after the Watts riot, they made up their minds they wasn't gonna be caught with their pants down, and this has all been part of that. We're planning for a race riot. But the thing is, you took a guy that basically he said that job was his life. Now they still not letting us know verbatim.
Oh, no.
What drove him over the edge?
Oh, no.
But,
well, they said, Andy, they said in the middle of this manhunt, they admitted that they disabled the police scanners, which I never heard before. They disabled the police scanners, they said, to ensure officer safety. Well, that makes no damn sense. Don't you need the police scanners to find where the guy's at?
Nope. What they're telling you is he had a scanner with him.
Yep. Yeah, I'm sure he did, and the fees were not cut until after the police were clearly heard discussing plans to go ahead with the burners. There was clear message about the police saying that they were going ahead with burners, and on another feed, we heard them say, burn this MF-er to the ground.
Yeah, well, look at, hey, Paul, I'll call you back, man. Dale.
All right.
I'm
we'll
in the as soon as I drop my girl off, I'll get
right,
right
we'll
back
put you
with
back
you guys.
In the queue there then. But,
all right,
thanks. We're going to go back to Frank here in a minute. Frank, if you hang on with us, we did tell everybody we're going to get into stuff going on in the state legislature. So we wanted to talk about the national stuff at the top of the hour. And I thought that was a good tie-in there to get back to the fact that we looked at the story of Gordon Call back 30 years ago and his pursuit by the government and the IRS. And then we got up to the Indianapolis Baptist Temple and up to the latest flame broiling of this former LAPD and former Navy guy himself. So if you want to hang on the line, folks, we're going to talk back with Frank here in the People's Republic of Vietnam, and we're going to talk about what's going on in the state legislature. So stay on the line, and again, you're listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network.
Well, I moved into this room, if you could call it that, a week ago. I never do what I'm supposed to do, hardly even know my name anymore. No one calls it out, kind of vanishes away. And I can't get to sleep at night, the parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years, probably never made a I can't say the same to me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home. Bye. Bobby Wayne. It's the only open liquor store door. I can't stand the pain of being by myself without a little help on a Sunday afternoon. Well, I needed that damn woman like to dream these gasoline. And I tried to be some angel kind of man, one that's never seen. I've tried to chase it down, tried to make the whole thing mine. Somebody take me home through those Alabama pines. Somebody take me home through those Alabama pines.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back, and we think you can handle the truth. This is T, the of the truth, and we're here on the My View Matters Radio Network with the TNT radio show. We were thanking Andy for calling in. Andy kind of called in, got a drive-by call in there about our top national story. And just to let everybody know, because they always ask about our kick-ass bumper music, we opened up the show tonight with one of our favorite bands, and that was Sons of Liberty. And we were also playing a little bit of a Poker Face about Rather Die Than Be Your Slave. So then when we came back just now, we were playing the great Jason Isbell in Alabama Pines. And we got a good friend, Frank, from Lexington online. And Frank and I were going to talk a little bit about the state legislature and what's going on. You still with us, Frank?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Appreciate you hanging on there, Frank, and dodging all the drones around your head there. But we want to get into the things going on in Frankfurt, and I know that that you're like me, you're keeping up with these things, and I think we're making some good traction on some Frankfurt bills. We've seen the hemp bills got national attention. Did you want to weigh in and tell people what you think about this hemp bill that today we found out that it got through the state senate by a vote of 31-6? Your comments?
31-6. I thought it was 31-9. I'm not going to quibble. No big deal.
The only person didn't vote was the Senate president. You know, he usually only votes if there's a tie. So yeah, it was 31-6.
Well, I actually got to go to the committee hearing on Monday, and saw it was great to watch Rand Paul, Thomas Massey, John Yarmouth, and then the former CIA director, and I'm going to try to get his name right this time, Wolfie.
I think that's right.
They all gave great reasons why we should go forward with industrial hemp. The opposition was mostly the KSP, the Kentucky State Police, Commissioner Rodney Brewer, and their whole justification for not wanting this to go through is that people are going to grow marijuana in the hemp fields. Well, the CIA director completely ridiculed that argument. He said, you know, being in the CIA, they had access to a lot of conversations, with drug dealers and things like that. And there's not a marijuana grower in America that wants industrial hemp in his, vicinity with the cross-pollination issues. If you cross-pollinate hemp with marijuana, you're going to get a greatly diluted batch of marijuana.
And people need to remember, this is the same guy with the KSP. And what was his name again?
Rodney Brewer.
Yeah, Rodney Brewer.
I call him the commissar, not the commissioner, but the commissar.
That's pretty good. Just call him Czar for short. He'd like that. But, this is the same Rodney Brewer with the KSP, who also doesn't want you to be armed. Remember, he's also against us having a right to self-defense.
He's anti-freedom, as far as I can
tell. Pretty much.
I tell the story a lot about I grew up in Lexington, but my family was from Floyd County, and we used to watch the bootleggers operate across the street, not 200 feet from the Kentucky State Police outpost up there in Prestonsburg. You telling me they didn't know there was a bootlegger 200 feet from their front door? Give me a break.
Well, they're illegal because you have the bootleggers and the state police working together to keep it illegal.
Operating in tandem, sure.
Yeah.
Well, Kathy Stein, bless her heart, one of the biggest liberals we've got in Frankfurt, she even pointed out that traditionally the only people that wanted to keep prohibition in place were the bootleggers. So when you know, one of the biggest liberals in the state senate is on your side, you're doing something right. You know?
Well, and like you said, we had a cast of characters. It was like something out of the canteen scene from Star Wars up there testifying, because you had Thomas Massie, you had Senator Rand Paul, you had my congressman who gets it right every few years, John Yarmuth, you had Agriculture Commissioner Jamie Comer, and you even had the most liberal members of the state legislature on your side. And like I just said, this is a bill that went through that Senate committee you talked about unanimously. It got through the committee unanimously, and then today, when it got to the Senate floor, it got through by a vote of 31-6. So very bipartisan. Go ahead.
Thomas Massie made one of the best arguments that you could possibly make on the side of being an entrepreneur and, you know, somebody advocating freedom and the free markets. He said nobody remembers who came in second to eBay. Nobody remembers who came in second to Google. And, if Kentucky doesn't get on board, and if we don't bring this home first, nobody's going to come to Kentucky to be the capital of the hemp movement. If Kentucky gets on board early and we start producing the seed, we can regain our former world status as the world's leading producer of high-quality hemp seed. And right now, I mean, they have to spray all over the state to kill the stuff. It's so, you know, so tough and so hardy. So we've got a really good strain of weed.
It'll grow anywhere.
Of hemp weed. Hemp seed, I'm saying weed. Hemp seed, that's going to get me in trouble.
Right in there. Well,
I just destroyed my whole argument for industrial hemp, didn't
it? Yeah, it'll grow anywhere. And we know that the climate and the surroundings are very good for it in Kentucky. And what they were saying on the floor today of the state senate, before they had the full Senate vote today, we had some people basically saying from the floor today, the elected politicians, some of them saying, hey, we're not going to be first if we don't hurry up. And there are other states that are already looking at it. And you had a few usual suspects who would say stuff like, well, I'm kind of hesitant, but they didn't want to be left behind. So it was kind of funny. I was going to go over this vote quickly.
Colorado's going to be putting seed in the ground this spring. And is Washington State legal now, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going to beat us to it if we don't pick it up. It's not legal anywhere yet, but they're ahead of us in the process now. I wanted to go over the vote quickly, and I don't know if you saw this, but I got the names here. Like I said, it was 31-6. I want to give people the names of the only six elected politicians so far that have stood in our way. Keep in mind, this thing flew through the Senate committee, and today it went through the Senate floor 31-6. So I'm going to give you these names, Frank, and you can comment if you have any comments on any of these guys.
If I know any of them.
If you know any about them. In numerical order, from the 9th district voting against our right to hemp was, ready for this one, Republican David Givens.
Oh, well, here's another side story on that, of course. David Givens was the Senate Agriculture Chairman of the Agriculture Committee. He blocked the bill from being heard for 2 or 3 years.
Forever.
He wouldn't let it move forward because he was David Williams, you know, a little sock puppet.
Sure.
And he also was absent to vote on Monday. He wasn't. He didn't attend the committee meeting. So
he can honestly say
he didn't vote against it. You know.
Right, but he did today. He voted against it today, and
he did today. Yeah.
The other votes today.
Oh, I got to put that on my Facebook page.
Yeah, we'll give you the rest of the names here. Like I said, there's only six of them. Remember, we got this vote, 31-6. The other ones from the 15th district, Republican State Senator. I don't know this guy as well, Chris Girdler.
Don't know him at all.
He's a Dare, Casey, Pulaski, and Russell County, and he's not as an establishment. He's not as much of an establishment hack as Givens was, because he was just trying to see when he was elected. It looks like he just got in a couple of years ago. So that's two of them. Moving along in numerical order and finishing up the Republicans' side of it here, we got two more Republicans. Ready for this one? 21st District, Albert Robinson voted against us.
Dad, you know, I don't know state politics nearly as well as you do, Dale. I don't know that name either.
Then we got the last Republican vote against us was down in, you mentioned some of Eastern Kentucky, down in Harlan area, Republican Brandon Smith voted against us. Those are the four Republicans who voted against us. And you know who Brandon Smith is? He's the majority whip in the Senate.
Well, you know, Greg Sunbo is going to be our biggest hurdle on the House side. He's a Democrat from Prestonsburg, and that's where my grandmother lived, and that's where the bootlegging went on. So,
and ironically,
only
two Democrats voted against us in the state Senate. Frank, we'll finish those up here. The two Democrats that voted against us were 29th District Johnny Ray Turner. And also, the last Democrat vote against us was Ray Jones II. And these guys are mostly southeastern Kentucky, Pike County, Pike County.
From what I've been told, there's a real line where in eastern Kentucky they don't want to legalize industrial hemp.
Oh.
And the rumor is, or the speculation is because there is so much illegal marijuana grown in eastern Kentucky, and there's a lot of kickbacks going to a lot of these sheriffs and law enforcement, and that's got to be filtering its way up, you know, to the
all
legislators.
Those
guys are getting paid. They're getting campaign contributions probably from these guys to keep it illegal.
Follow
the money. And, you know, the oldest story in the wet-dry elections was that the bootleggers used to pay the preachers to get the church folks fired up to keep the county dry. And, of course, the sheriffs and the law enforcement didn't want it to go wet either, because then they were going to be losing their kickbacks.
All six people who voted against us, Frank, were from eastern to southeastern Kentucky. We have anybody in the entire Senate voting against us, from Lexington up to northern Kentucky to Louisville to southern to western Kentucky, all voted with us. All six votes that went against hemp were east to southeastern Kentucky.
Law enforcement and the church are the only people against this.
Yep.
And it's the same old story.
So we'll move on to a couple other topics that are going on in the state Senate. And these are issues, I don't know, which ones have you been following, Frank, so I don't put you on the spot. Which other state Senate issues?
Well, there's that David Adams has been fighting the battle against Obamacare.
Yep.
And so there's a, you know, I don't know that all the proper terminology. This is not my pet issue. It's just one I'm a little bit aware of. But there's a Christian health share organization. They're not per se insurance. They're a bunch of people that all put money in to pay each other's health care bills. And so they've been in operation for, I want to say, 17, maybe 19 years. They've been very successful. They've never had a single instance where anyone was ever denied health care.
Yep.
And so they give all the shareholders, I think they're called shareholders, a say in how the things run. And
yep.
So they have sort of a variable bill each month. You know, David says that the bills stay pretty consistent, but they'll go up or down depending upon, you know, whether they've had to pay out more than usual or whether they haven't had to pay out more than usual. But they take care of themselves. And apparently they're not premiums per se. I'm not going to, by legal definition, these are not premiums, but the amounts that people pay in each month are way lower than conventional insurance. And all these people are very happy with it. No one in the entire history of this health share organization has ever had to file a complaint, or don't think they've ever had a lawsuit or anything like that. It works.
Well, these bills in general, I get more concerned about them in the state house, and that's a couple I want to bring up that, not surprisingly but very frighteningly, are getting through the house, and that is the one bill that they've already gotten through the committee and is now being debated on the House floor, is a statewide smoking ban. I know our good friend Ken Moman, who does the Sunday night show here on the same network, on the My View Matters Network, he and I have talked about this. But what really irks me is my state representative, Republican Julie Rocky Adams, was a sponsor of this bill, a statewide smoking ban, because nothing says constitutional less government by a Republican than a statewide smoking ban. Right, Frank?
Well, what's even funnier, Dale, is that while they're trying to ban smoking in Kentucky, at the same time, you know, our pension system is broke. Guess how they're trying to fund our pension system? They're trying to fund their pension system based on higher taxes on tobacco.
I know.
It's absurd. It's absolutely
absurd.
But
the thing about the smoking ban is businesses and or localities – should be able to decide for themselves their policies, not a director from state government. And that's what amazes me, that this Republican state rep, who's supposed to be this up-and-comer in the neocon Republican side, I guess, Julie Rocky Adams, she's talking about, she even said today that all this smoking ban's a lot easier than a lot of the bad, tough bills we're having to face. So she just thinks it's a done deal. But I got news for the state Senate. I can't see the state Senate going along with a state smoking ban. But the other bill that really worries me, and this one I'm just shocked that it got through as quickly as it did. Let me pull it back up here. And this is this bill. I don't know if you've seen this. This DNA bill.
I've heard very little bit about it, but I don't really know enough about
it. Well, it was in
committee
today. It was in committee today, and surprisingly, it made it out of the House Judiciary Committee unanimously. And what this bill is, this is Senate Bill 47 and House Bill 89. They're almost identical. And what they would do is basically they let the government collect your biometric information, not based on a conviction of a crime, but on a simple arrest.
Wow.
If they arrest you, and you know you can be arrested for anything at any time, and it says they can collect your DNA simply on an arrest and not a conviction. And what is scary, Frank, is this thing passed out of the House Judiciary Committee unanimously.
Well, we see where everything is going, and you know, I don't think our state stands up to the federal government at all, because we're a beggar state. We get, what, 50 cents more?
Yep.
On the dollar, than, you know, we put in a dollar and we get $1.50 back. So our governor and our state legislature, they don't do anything to cross the federal government. They're just basically, you know, the sycophants of the federal government. They do whatever the federal government wants them to do.
Well, the federal government, and again, I talked to people on the social networks today about these drones. And like I said, if you can now bring a drone in and go after this Chris Dornan character in California, they admitted that they were going after him with drones. You know, that was the quickest way for them to get the drones in than ever before. And most people are opposed to drone strikes unless you get to the United States. And supposedly, if you believe the polls, they polled all these countries about drone strikes. And supposedly they claim that 62% of Americans favor drone strikes. And I don't know where they get these numbers.
I don't think most Americans are informed enough to make an intelligent choice on most issues.
No.
And unfortunately, they're brainwashed by the media. If you're getting your information from the mainstream media, you might as well just be a sock puppet. There's nothing on the mainstream media that's going to inform you of anything close to the truth. It's all policy. It's like Pravda and Izvestia used to be in Russia. It's just an organ of the state. That's all it is.
I agree, and it brings me back to, at the end of the show here, I was wanting to talk about some of the research I did today. People may not know this, and this is an article from almost a year ago, talking about right here where our show is based in Louisville, there is actually a Department of Defense drone base in Louisville, if you can believe that. And if you look it up,
I've seen maps. There's you know, probably 100 drone bases now.
Well, last count, even last year there was at least 60 some. I mean, there was at least 64 drone bases on American soil. Wired magazine talked about this. Publicintelligence.net talked about it. But if you look it up, there's a Department of Defense drone base in Louisville, Kentucky, and it says Branch of Government Special Ops. Types of UAS. It says Wasp and Raven. I don't know that much about that. But the best part here says
Lexington. Lexington has a drone now. Is that where Lexington's drone flies home to?
I guess so.
Because
activity status was future. It did not say there was current usage for this drone in Louisville, but that the status was future. So this is the kind of thing. We thank you, Frank, for weighing in with us here. We'll put you back in the queue there as we finish up here. But this is the kind of stuff, I don't think America loves drone strikes. I think America is oblivious to drone strikes. And this is how they do this. I mean, FBI catches all these American terrorists. How many terrorists do they catch at TSA? How many terrorists do they catch at the airport? Oh, that's right, they don't catch any. But they'll wand a nun, and they'll grope an old man in a wheelchair, and they'll grab the breast of a veteran. And we've come a long way down the road of creating a situation where we're creating more enemies than we're removing from the battlefield. You have this American military-industrial complex that wants a continual warfare to license their takeover policies, and this is how they do it in the Middle East. So collateral damage is required to extend that. I mean, they forget that this is one of the reasons that other countries hate us. And Ron Paul said this, and he got just crucified in the media when he ran for president. But American government supporting military on the streets, summary executions, restrictions on free speech. And if you protest any of it, the media will label you as troublemakers. See, as long as people have service for their iPhones and they have their bread and circuses on TV, they'll support anything done that keeps them safe. You know, I said this last night on Ed Springsteen's show, and that is, it's not even about us trying to fight for any freedoms that we have left. The truth is, at this point, I mean, for the serenity, for the simplicity of people just to sit around and watch their television and be able to follow their stupid reality shows and all their soap operas and crap, the bottom line is they're not even fighting for freedoms anymore. All they're doing is trying to fight to maintain the same comfortable cage that they already have. They're worried about losing the comforts of the cell that they're already in. You know, Dwight D. Eisenhower, who had warned people about the military-industrial complex, he also said, you know, if you want to be safe, then you go to prison because you have meals and you have roof and you have food and you have border and you're protected and you have health care. But the only thing that's missing is freedom. And that's the problem. Americans will accept drone strikes as a solution to rid crime from coming to the areas, just like we'll accept going after the brown people from the other countries as a way to get an ID card. Folks, you got to get back to freedom. You got to realize that one of the dumbest things that we've done here is bring these aircraft over here and allow drones to go after our own people. You got to stop being worried about the brown man who's over in some cave somewhere. And you got to be more worried about your own government officials, your own well-spoken, fork-tongued, suit-wearing officials who are right there in your own government, taxing you every day. Because like Alexander Haig said, they don't give you a protest. As long as you keep paying their taxes, they don't care how much you protest. Some people have stopped paying their taxes. That's what we opened the show up with, the story about the gentleman Gordon Call, who was shot down after not paying his taxes. I don't know any of you out there in this listening audience, folks, who pays taxes because it's a law. Because we talked last week, 100 years ago, that amendment was not legally adapted. You know you don't pay taxes because it's a law. You pay taxes because you're afraid not to. Have a good week, folks. Death to the New World Order.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look way down the river, and what do you think I see? I see a band of angels, and they're coming after me. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look down yonder, Gabriel. Put your feet on the land and sea. But Gabriel, don't you blow your trumpet till you hear from me. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, meet me, Jesus, meet me. Meet me in the middle of the air. And if these wings don't fail me, I will meet you anywhere. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, meet me, mother and father. Meet me down the river road. And mama, you know that I'll be there when I check in my load. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!